Good evening. I came this evening and I only saw four people in here. I thought I might be in trouble tonight, but you guys came out, so it's very good to see you all. And I do thank Pastor for giving me the other opportunity to be here with you this evening. And I want you to think with me for just a moment that God comes to the door of your heart. And God is knocking on the door of your heart. And so you go to the door and you let God into your heart. And he goes into and he walks around the rooms of your heart. And he comes up a hallway of your heart. And he goes and he finds a door that's locked and closed. And he asks you, he says, what is this room? What is in this room? And you tell him, you say, God, I have given you everything. I've given you my life. I've given you everything. But I am not going to give you that room. That is my room. And I'm not going to give that room to you. And I kind of wonder, in our Christian realm, in our Christian life, what doors are locked in your life to God? What doors are locked? What doors are you not allowing God to give? Are you not giving God in your life? Look with me at James chapter 4. James chapter 4. And I'm going to read the passage. We're going to pray. And we're going to talk about three doors that sometimes we leave God out of. James chapter 4, if you would. And we're going to start in verse number 11. And we're going to read down to the end of the chapter, verse number 17. James 4, verse 11. Do not speak evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another person? Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know what will not be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, I come to you this evening. And Lord, as I studied this out the last couple weeks, I have to look at myself as I preach this message to my friends here at First Baptist. Lord, I pray that as your word goes out this evening, that those who are here will not hear me, but they will hear you. They will hear your word. And Lord, that they will not just hear it, but that they will listen, they will apply, they will put into practice the things that are heard here tonight. And Lord, if there's anybody here that has closed the door on God in some part of their life, that they will open that to you even tonight. Father, we ask you that you will go before us in this time. Be with me, give me the words to say, and not my own thoughts here. But your word, give us a great time together in your name. Amen. The first door that we close on God, or the three areas or the doors that we close on God, is the door of words. The door of words. Look at verse 11 and 12 again, would you? Speak not evil one of another, brethren. Speak has the idea, speak not evil is basically, speak and evil are the same words in Greek. And it has the idea of do not speak against somebody. Do not speak slander. Do not be backbiting to somebody. Do not talk against another's actions, motives, manner of living, family, etc. Do not make harsh or censorious judgments to somebody else. Don't do that. Don't do that. Instead, our lips should be guided by the law of kindness as well as truth and justice. We're not to go around and say something bad about a person. We're not to go around and say a lie about a person or talk behind their back. Don't speak evil of somebody. He that speaks evil, in verse 11 continues, he that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. And I see two ways that we can use our words to hurt another person. And that's by our speech. Ephesians 4:31. That all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Take that stuff off of you. Take evil speaking off and replace it with kindness and gentleness and love to our brethren. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 1. Also states, wherefore lay aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisy and all envy and all evil speaking. So by our words, by judging, you may say, well, I'm not in the court system. I'm not in the court system. I don't judge another person. Well, yeah, you do. Sometimes we do. And we may not mean to, but sometimes we may do that. He that speaks evil of another, verse 11 says, and judges his brother, that word judge there has the idea of to distinguish, to decide mentally or judicially, to think. And it could be rash, unjust judgment. Think about this with me, would you? This is basically what verse 11 is saying. He that speaks evil of another does in effect speak evil of the law, which strongly prohibits speaking evil of another person. About that for a minute. He that speaks evil of another person does in effect speak evil of the law, which strongly prohibits speaking evil of another person. He who is guilty of these things and allows himself to do these things, considers the law unworthy to be kept, and that it is no sin to break the law. The law. Right? Listen to these verses. Matthew 7:1. Judge not, and you will not be judged. I like this one, Romans 2, verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whoever you are that judges. For wherein you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you that judge does the same thing. You ever hear the old saying? I point one finger at you, and how many point you back at me? Right? Four. Right? So if I judge you, I'm also judging myself because I'm doing the same thing. Right? Romans 14, 10 through 12. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at naught your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me, and every tongue will confess to God. So then every one of us will give account of himself to God. Now there's a good reason not to judge or speak evil of somebody, right? Why? Because we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're all going to give account about everything we've done against somebody else or against God. How's your door of words? How's it doing? End of verse 11 again says, but if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. If you judge somebody for doing something wrong, you're not doing what the Bible tells you to do. You're not doing what God tells you to do, because the Bible tells you to love somebody, not judge them. Let me ask you this. Why are we not to speak evil and judge others? Look at verse 12. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you to judge another person? Why are we not to judge anybody? Why are we not to speak evil of somebody? Because God alone is our lawgiver and judge. Someday we are going to bow the knee before God. We're going to stand before the judge, the creator of all creation. We're going to stand before the one who died to take the place of everything that we have done wrong. We're going to stand before Him, and we're going to give account of everything we've done. We are to love others and not judge them. We're to love others and not to judge them. John 13, 34. A new command I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. Goes on in verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you what? If you love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is love. 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. How's your words? Have you given God, have you given God your door of words? Have you opened up that door and let God use you by your speech? Have you given God that door of words? And by the way, folks, we cannot select the laws that we will obey unless it goes against what God tells us to do or our own conscience. So we can't, we have to obey what God says, right? We have to. God alone is our lawgiver and judge. He is able to save and He's able to destroy. He's able to protect, preserve, make whole, and He's also able to destroy, perish forever. Lots of verses about that in the Bible. How about that one? How about that one? The door of plans. Let me ask you this. As I was thinking through all this a few days ago, and you can talk to me tonight, it's okay. Is it wrong to make plans? You say no? Anybody else? It's not wrong to make plans, but let me ask you this question. Is it wrong to make plans without having God in the middle of those plans? Look at verse 13 through 16. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Hey, you know what they're doing? They're making plans. That's not a bad thing. But there's nothing about God in that verse. Go to now, you that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city, and we will buy and sell. We'll sell our merchandise. We'll make money. We'll do this. We'll do that. And we'll make a profit from it. Know what that verse tells me? This is men living their lives as if every moment does not depend on God. Hey, it's my life. I can do what I want with it. I can do whatever I want because it's my life and I can do whatever I want with it. Folks, I'm not saying that it's not wrong to make plans. It is. It's okay to make plans. But whenever you make your plan, make sure that God is in the middle of those plans. And it's what God wants you to do. I'm thinking through stuff right now. But I want to make sure it's what God wants me to do. Not what I just want to do. Look at verse 14. Whereas you know not what will be on the morrow. Do we know what tomorrow is going to hold for us, folks? No. You don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. You don't even know what tonight's going to hold after you leave this place, do you? We don't know anything like that. You don't know what's going to be on tomorrow. For what is your life? You're frail. You're a frail being created by God to serve and worship Him. But what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. like boiling water. You boil your water and you get the steam, and what happens to the steam? It stays there, right? No, it goes away. It disappears. That's who you are. That's your life. But think, our life is a vapor, and we do not know from one day to the next what is going to happen. We don't. We don't. Found these verses. Psalm 102, verse 11. Just listen to these verses. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. Job 8:9. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon the earth are a shadow. Psalm 78:39. For he remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passes away and does not come in. Verse 15. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Why are we not to close the door of plans on God? Why are we not to close the door of plans on God? Because number one, God only knows the future. For that you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Think about that for a moment. If you ought to say, think about that. You ought to say, to recognize our dependence on God and to form all of our plans with reference to His will. We should never forget our dependence on God or neglect to seek His guidance and blessing. For that you ought to say, if the Lord wills. Now think about that word will. It's not I will do this or I will do that. It's a whole different meaning. It basically means if the Lord determines, if He chooses, if He pleases, we will go and live and do this or that. Only God knows the future. Again, it's not wrong, folks. It's not wrong to make plans of how you're going to live your life. It's not. It's not. But make sure that God is in the middle of those plans. Make sure it's what God wills for your life. Pray to Him about it. Pray to Him about it. Talk to Him about it. Say, God, hey, I want to do this, but I don't want to do this if it's not Your will. And have a good conversation with God about it. And eventually, God will tell you if it's His will for you to do that or not. I remember being in Ghana as a missionary. God was changing our direction. And as you guys know, as a church family, we had plans to move to Trinidad and Tobago. And you remember Pastor going with me to check it out and all that. But I would sit in my office in my recliner in Ghana. And I would ask God, I said, God, do you want me to stay? If you want me to stay in Ghana, I will do that. I will stay here as long as you want me to stay here. Or do you want me to leave my ministry here and go to where you want me to be? You know what? I talked to God about that a lot. And each time I asked God that question, I had the peace that it was His will, not mine, to leave and go to another area. As you know, the door closed in Trinidad. We couldn't get our visa. So God is using us here. But, hey, only God knows your future. Charles Spurgeon. I always like Charles Spurgeon. Charles Spurgeon once said that to live hour by hour as those who will soon give account is the true mode of living. To live your life hour by hour or minute by minute or step by step is like I like to say it. To live your life step by step in God's dependence on each step of the way is how you should live your life. How's that doing for you? How's your door of plans? How's the door of plans? Are you making plans without God in view, or are you making plans with God in view? How's it going for you? We talked about the door of words. Talked about the door of plans. And by the way, the door of plans, it reminds me of the story in Luke. Luke, if I can find it now. Luke chapter 12 reminds me of the story there where, you know, you had this farmer that had all these crops. He had a big blessing of crops that year. And he didn't have the farm space to put it. And so he decided to himself that I'm going to break down my barns. I'm going to build new ones, right? I'm going to live my life to the fullest. I'm going to have a great time. I'm going to have food enough to spare. I'm not going to have to work ever again. But God comes to him. And what does God say to him? You fool. This day, your soul is required of you. How's your door of words? How's your door of plans? How's your door of plans? By the way, verse 16. But now you rejoice in your boastings. Hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go here. I'm going to go there. I'm going to do whatever I want. You rejoice in your boastings. But God says this boasting of what you're going to do day by day or in the future is evil. Because it's all based on you. It's not based on God. Now you rejoice in your boastings, and all such boasting is evil because it's not about you. So don't leave God out of your plans whenever you make them. Don't ever leave Him out of your plans. This is a harder one. The door of action. The door of action. Therefore, to him that knows to do good. To him that knows, to him that is aware, to him that considers, to him that understands what the right thing is to do in your life. To him that knows the Bible and knows what the right thing to do is inside and out, but does not do it. To him, it is sin. I'm going to raise my hand right now because I'm going to tell you all three of these things. Sometimes I'm prone to it, guys. I'm just like you are. Sometimes I leave God out of my plans. Sometimes I leave God out of my words. Hey, sometimes I leave God out of my actions, and oftentimes more than I want to even admit to you, because I know the right thing to do. I know what is right, but I'm still a sinner inside. I'm still a sinner inside. I know what is right. If you know how to do the right and yet do not do it, the sin is greater on account of your knowledge. Let me explain that a little bit. You know what to do, right? You know the Bible, right? You know how to do things. But if you don't do it, your judgment's going to be greater for not doing it because you knew what to do in the first place. How's that clarification, huh? True. God is going to judge you for everything that you do. And if you know what to do that's right, but you don't do the right, you do the wrong thing instead, your judgment's going to even be greater because you didn't do what you knew you had to do. Wow. Are you sinning by not doing what you know is right? Are you sinning by not doing what you know is right? How about this one? Are you sinning by doing what you know is wrong? You read this verse with me. John 13:17. Say it out loud with me, would you? If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Folks, listen to me. Let me go back to that last one, guys. I went too far. You could go back to that last one. Have you closed the door on God in your words? Sorry if you can't go back there. I went too far. Have you closed any of these doors on God? The door of words. By your speech or by your judging another person for what they've done? Have you closed the door of plans on God? Hey, it's my life. It's my life, and I can do whatever I want with my life, no matter what you tell me to do, no matter what God tells me to do, I'm going to do it anyway. Have you done that? Have you closed the door of plans on God And have you closed the door of actions on God? I've got to tell you guys, this is hard stuff. This is very hard stuff. But I want you to know as well that God wants you. God wants you to give these things to Him. God wants you to give your words to Him. God wants you to give your fans to Him. And God wants you to give your actions to Him, because by us doing those things in our life, people are going to see that, and people will come to know Him. So how are you doing on this? Do you need help with those? Well, you already have a helper inside of you. Do you not? You already have a helper inside of you. If you are God's child, you already have somebody inside of you that will help you with these things, and that's the Holy Spirit. How you doing? Let's pray together. Father, come to you tonight. Lord, I have to learn these things myself. And I'm going to tell you, Father, it's not easy. I'm a sinful man with Christ in me, with a hope of glory. But I still fight that sin in my life. And I'm sure other people out here, they fight it too. Because we all do. You said it's going to happen. Father, I pray for those out here who are fighting with the door of words. Whether by their speech, whether by their judging. Lord, I pray that they will not close that door of words on you. But that you would let them open that door. Let you inside that room. Get things straightened out that need straightened out in their words and their speech and their judging of others. Whatever the case may be. And that you would be glorified by their words. Lord, I also pray for those who are struggling with the door of plans. It's my life. I can do what I want. No, it's not. And if we are your children, it's your life. You live in us. We are your temple. And if we are struggling with this door of plans and we close this door of plans on you, Father, let us open it right back up. Because if it's us, we will fail. But if it's your will and it's your plan, we will succeed. So Father, do whatever you need to do with us on that door of plans so that we can please you by our plans as well. Father, we also come to you and I pray for the door of actions. Father, we know it's not all about actions. It's about being a servant for you, and by our actions, people will see you. But Lord, if it's in any trouble, help us to clean it up tonight. Open that door back up of actions back up and serve you. Before I finish, I just want to know out there, those of you who are listening to me tonight, how many of you would say, I'm struggling with the door of words. I need help. I'm struggling with the door of words. I need help. Thank you. How about the door of plans? Door of plans. Okay. How about the door of actions? Father, I pray for those who have raised their hands. Help us. Help them. Help us to help each other to walk the way that you want us to walk, to live the way you want us to live. Encourage each other to do this. And may our whole life be an open door for you to work, for you to live, and for others to see. In your name, amen. Thank you, folks. Have a great week. See you Wednesday.